Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2527 with a release date of Friday, April 3rd, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham's head toward the moon. The Azores gets its first 10-meter repeater. And Newsline's April Fool's correspondent, Pierre Pullenmeleg, is back with some big news. Or not. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2527 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Jonesboro, Arkansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Our top story takes us into space, specifically looking toward the moon. Delayed weeks ago due to technical issues, NASA's Artemis II mission lifted off from Florida's Kennedy Space Center on the 1st of April, carrying a crew of four astronauts, three of whom have amateur radio licenses. Astronauts Reed Wiseman, KF5LKT, Victor Glover, KI5BKC, Jeremy Hansen, KF5LKU, and Christina Koch, now embark on a test flight that will pave the way for an eventual return of a human presence on the moon. Meanwhile, four amateur radio operators here on Earth are among the group of 34 volunteers chosen by NASA to track transmissions from the Orion spacecraft during its 10-day journey. An amateur radio operator is being called the source of radio interference that affected emergency service frequencies in one part of Pennsylvania last year, according to the Federal Communications Commission. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, picks up the story from here.
The FCC Enforcement Bureau has charged a ham radio operator in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, with interfering with UHF frequencies used by 911 emergency services. The FCC identified the ham as David Knudsen, KD3ASC. According to the agency, the Pittsburgh amateur was transmitting on 470.4375 MHz from a handheld transceiver last July, prompting a complaint from the county's emergency services that there was interference on its dispatch channel. Using direction finding, the Bureau's enforcement agents tracked the signal to Knutson's home, where they said he showed them a Bofang BT-Tech UV Pro HT, which he surrendered to them. The handheld radio is capable of transmitting on VHF and UHF amateur radio bands, as well as private land mobile radio bands. The FCC said that the radio had been programmed to monitor the EMS channel and that the audio relay was enabled, permitting traffic from one channel to be retransmitted on another. The FCC notice is dated March 25th. Knudsen must respond to the Enforcement Bureau within 10 days of that date. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The next set of images to be transmitted from the International Space Station via SSTV will mark a number of high-profile moments in space. Watch for them this month. Jack Parker, W8ISH, tells us what a few of them are.
The 65th anniversary of the first human spaceflight by cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, the 45th anniversary of the first space shuttle flight, and the 100th anniversary of the world's first liquid-propelled rocket launch by Robert Goddard. These are three of the several space achievements being commemorated by amateur radio on the International Space Station through a selection of images to be transmitted as part of SSTV Series 31. The SSTV mode will be Robot 36, and there will be 2 minutes between transmissions. Transmissions will begin on the 10th of April and continue through the 14th of April. The frequency will be 437.55 plus or minus Doppler shift. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The Azores Amateur Radio Association, CU2ARA, is marking an important anniversary this year with the installation of its first 10-meter repeater. The group says its presence in the North Atlantic holds great promise for contacts between hams in Europe and North America. Dave Lee, M7TLB, tells us more.
On São Miguel Island, the largest island in the Azores off the coast of Portugal, a new 10-meter FM repeater stands ready for QSOs. This is the first 10-meter repeater for the association, which is marking the 50th year since its founding. The 50-watt repeater transmits on 29.630 MHz with a minus 100 kHz shift, giving it a receive frequency of 29.530 MHz. It has a CTCSS tone of 88.5 Hz. Bruno, CS8ABG, told Newsline that challenges in installation prompted the group to install the receiver and transmitter separately. The transmitter is located in the center of the island, and the receiver is about 20 kilometers away on the western side. Both are at an altitude of 900 meters. The sites are connected using 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi links. The site holds promise for other connections too, according to Bruno. There's a Raspberry Pi system with a private All-Star Link connection that may someday provide a link to the group's VHF repeaters that are part of the Azores All-Star Link network. Bruno told Newsline that the east-west radiation pattern of the dipoles favor propagation between Europe and North America, so DXs, of course, are very welcome. This is Dave Lee, M7TLB.
Another 10-meter repeater, this one in Ireland, is getting a huge welcome back from amateurs. It is back on the air and is expected to be very busy, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The repeater in Condonna, County Donegal, EI0IPG, is no longer silent. Storms had taken the nation's only 10-meter repeater out of service until recently. According to a report by the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the repeater, maintained by the Carndonagh Amateur Radio Club, is receiving an especially hearty welcome among experimenters because an increase in solar activity promises a greater likelihood of transatlantic and continental FM communication. Its frequencies are 29.580 MHz input, 29.680 MHz output, with a 67 Hz CTCSS tone. The repeater also offers access via EchoLink node 29007. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Although the liveliest daytime action will likely be at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Xenia, Ohio in May, that Hamvention epicenter isn't the only big draw for visiting amateurs that weekend. Sal Emby, KB3TZD, tells us about another Hamvention weekend tradition.
The National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting is welcoming Hamvention guests by offering extended hours from Thursday, May 14th through Sunday, May 17th. The museum and the Westchester Amateur Radio Association, which is headquartered there, will be sharing a wide variety of exhibits that include a disc jockey setup from a vintage radio station, vintage ham and shortwave equipment, and the Voice of America's first transmitter dating from 1942. The club's ham radio station, WC8VOA, will be sharing access to its shack, so come with your license and be prepared to get on the air. Admission is $10 at the door. For each day's extended hours and for directions on how to find the museum from Xenia, visit the website voamuseum.org or wc8voa.org. The independent nonprofit museum in Westchester, Ohio is not affiliated with the U.S. government's Voice of America service. This is Sal Emby, KB3TZD.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the CQ0UARS and CQ0EARS repeaters in Aveiro, Portugal, on Saturdays and Sundays at noon local time. New regulations in Norway include the creation of an entry-level license. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
The Norwegian Communications Authority has approved an entry-level license for amateurs in that country as one of several changes taking effect. The entry-level or limited 10-watt license covers the 80, 40, 20, 17, 15, 10, 6 and 2-meter bands, as well as the 70 centimeters band. Another change includes the removal of limitations to hams wishing to operate stations remotely, especially in Norway's overseas territories. The changes also affect the 23 cems band, which will now follow IARU recommendations more directly. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
This has already been a big year for YLs to scale to new heights. First, there was the WWA YL Award that united women radio operators calling CQ from around the world in March. Next up is the third annual Queens of the Mountains, a special Summits on the Air weekend event. There is some added incentive this year for chasers, as we hear from Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Activators in the third annual Queens of the Mountains YL Soda special event will be competing for the same certificates as before, but this year, chasers are getting a new chance for recognition. The new award is designed for chasers who contact at least three YL activators in different countries or different U.S. states. This is the second year the activity has drawn global participation, so once again, YL to YL DX CUSOs will be recognized with a WWW Worldwide Women's Certificate. The organizers, Amy AG7GP and Paula K9IR, announced the event's return on the Soda Reflector and have set the event to start at 0000 UTC on June 13th and end at 2359 UTC on June 14th. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
We remind our listeners that we are accepting nominations for Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award for 2026. If you know a talented, involved, and active licensed radio operator who is 18 years of age or younger and is a resident of the continental United States, please submit his or her name for consideration. You'll find a nomination form under the Awards tab of our website, arnewsline.org. Send in documentation supporting your nominee and get it to us by the May 31st deadline. This year's winner will be joining a very distinguished group of young amateurs who have continued to make a difference in the world of ham radio and their communities. In the world of DX, you have until the 10th of April to work Bernard DL2GAC using the call sign H44MS from Malaita Island in the Solomon Islands, IOTA number OC047. He has been spotted doing FT8 and SSB. Special call signs DA0ANT, DM50ANT, and DP50ANT are on the air celebrating a half century of German research in Antarctica until the 30th of April. Listen as well for DM50GFS, marking the 50th anniversary of the now decommissioned XGDR George Forster Station, and DP200GVN for the 200-year anniversary of the birth of George von Neumeier, after whom West Germany's Antarctic research stations have been named. Listen for Takei JG8NQJ/JD1, operating until the middle of May from the weather station on Minami Torishima, IOTA number OC073. He is using mostly CW with some FT8. JSEC SP5APW will be active as 3D2JK from Lakeba Island, IOTA number OC095, from the 17th through to the 22nd of April. He will be using FT8 and SSB on 20 through 10 meters. He will also be on 6 meters using mainly FT8. April 1st has come and gone, but Newsline's own Pierre Pullenmeleg is here once again. He's the only member of our team of correspondents who works one day a year on April Fool's Day. Pierre, you're no fool. What news do you have for us this year?
Responding to pressure from a dozen American symphony orchestras and a group of internationally celebrated virtuosos, the FCC is setting aside the part of the 20-meter band to let licensed amateur radio operators play their violins, flutes, bassoons, and other instruments, or to sing as the opera. In fact, opera singing hams looking for DX contacts will be encouraged to call a QRZ by singing compositions by a Mozart, Verdi, or Strauss. To prepare for these repurposed frequencies, the FCC will now require music recitals to be included in VE sessions. After completing the written part of the test, each candidate must present a 10-minute performance on the instrument of their choice, or they may sing. Starting in June, all FCC license preparation classes will include 6 months of music lessons. Knowing your harmonics is, after all, mes amis, so very important. But no drummers are welcome on this new portion of 20 meters. Percussion instruments will be sent to the CW portion. Already, mes amis, there have been protests from some amateur radio clubs around the U.S. who are asking why violinists and opera singers are being allowed on the 20-meter band, but no rock and rollers, no banjo players, and not even a single hip-hop artist. The FCC has taken up the question and is reportedly considering part of the 2-meter band next, or perhaps 7,200. As this is Pierre pulling my leg with a song in my heart, mes amis, and on the radio too, oui?
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, Eris, Bruno CS8ABG, David Behar, K7DB, FCC, 425DX News, Paolo, CU2CO, QRZ.com Forums, Radio World, Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space News, Soda Reflector, Voice of America Museum, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Jonesboro, Arkansas, saying 7-3. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material, even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.